Welcome to City Church's podcast, and thanks for joining us. Open up a Bible and listen in. And now, here's Pastor Kyle with today's message.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you, not just for the dawn of a new year, but for the dawn of a new decade. What an amazing reality that is. We look forward with expectation to what you have in store for this year and many, many more to come. And I want to specifically pray over this church for a double portion of the blessing that you gave us in 2019 and even in the first decade. God, may we embrace by faith that we're just getting started here and that you're just getting started with what you want to do here in this church through the power of your Spirit and your Son, Jesus. And I want to pray for every single person here in this room that 2020 would be a year where we finally surrender all of ourselves to the Lord. And I just ask, God, that there would be things that we would be able to leave behind and move into the future and move in faith with you. So, Lord, open our eyes to see what you want us to see in your word today. Open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. And open our hearts that we would respond and become the disciples you want us to be. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. God designed the world as we know it to work in understandable and, in many cases, predictable patterns. You know, think about it. The earth, where we all live, is a perfect sphere that revolves around the sun how many times per year? 360. You need to go back to sixth grade or something? Okay, come on, let's try that again. How many times does it go around? 365, actually, and a quarter per year to make one full cycle, which we have a leap year every 4 years. And depending upon where you live on planet Earth, you experience certain fairly predictable weather patterns as a result of the Earth's rotation and where it is in relationship to the sun. Though weather patterns are a little bit unfamiliar to us, the rest of the world and the country calls them seasons. That's right. That's what they're called. You know, we pay to live in SoCal so that our weather may not decrease below 62 or above 82. Amen? And when it does, we whine. That's what we do. But the world works in these four predictable patterns. You know, you have the winter, the spring, the summer, and the fall. In fact, in Genesis, it says God created all that. And it says God separated the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the earth makes a full rotation every 23 hours and 56 minutes, or 24 hours, if you want to call it that. That's what we call a day. It's the most foundational pattern that every human being grows up experiencing and understanding. From the moment that we exit our mother's womb, we begin to have this concept of waking in the morning, and that the morning sun soon turns into afternoon, which turns into evening, which turns into night, and we repeat the process all over again, which I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like the older I get, the shorter the days feel. Is anyone else there with me? When I go to bed, I think, didn't we just do this 5 minutes ago? See, hardwired into us is this fundamental pattern of how a very day works. God designed the very fabric of our existence as we know it to work in understandable and somewhat predictable patterns. You know, even every human life follows fairly similar patterns as well, where we're conceived as in the womb and born into the world as babies and develop into children as we grow, and then we develop into adolescence, and from adolescence we develop into young adults. From young adults, we develop into full-blown adults. And if you're a millennial, that's when you're 30. I can make fun of my own people. I'm a millennial, okay? The first service was offended too. You're not alone. And then from full-blown adulthood, we can continue to grow into more full-blown adulthood, right? Into older forms of adulthood into older adulthood, into older, maybe waiting to meet Jesus soon kind of adults. But you get the point. Even human life as we know it was designed by God to develop and grow in these understandable and somewhat predictable patterns. Now, granted, tragedy and disease can cut the human life cycle drastically short. But in reality, you know, God actually intended that none of us would ever die at any point. That came into the world through sin. And so God provided the answer of how to live eternally, despite the reality that sin means our mortal bodies will one day cease. So even disease patterns follow somewhat predictable and understandable patterns. You know, even the foundational simple ones that we all experience multiple times per year, like a cold virus. You know, I always know when I first start getting a bug and you feel that little tickle in your throat, and anybody ever start praying in the name of Jesus and anointing with oils at that point and whatever vitamins. And then if in 3 hours, like I feel the mucus, it's like, oh boy, here we go. This is just, and what I do is I just mark my calendar and I'm like, well, this week is going to stink. But in a week's time, my life will start to feel a little bit better. And sure enough, you know, 7 to 14 days, whatever, the thing runs its course, and in most cases, it resolves. And so more complex diseases, unfortunately, we don't always fully understand, even though they may have a pattern. And so in some cases, doctors can do some things, in some cases, they can't. But even still, we see how God designed the body as we know it and the world as we know it to follow certain predictable and understandable patterns. You know, meteorological storms that we experience from time to time even follow predictable patterns. Now, granted, our weather person may not always get it right. For us, it's not a person. It's the app on the phone, which is dictated by people and technology and all this stuff. So they may not be able to get it perfectly, but they can get general ideas. But even the most violent, torrential weather pattern, like an earthquake or a natural disaster or a hurricane or tornado, all of those things will eventually run their course, fizzle out, and end predictably. See, life's problems are also like all of that. It follows, in many cases, a predictable and understandable pattern. Show of hands, how many of you in here are married? You know, marriage problems also follow predictable patterns. Can I get a reluctant amen from the couples in the house? First service didn't want to do it either. You're totally with everyone else. You know, it's one of the reasons that that the quote-unquote term crisis counseling is usually a misnomer in most marriages, and here's why. Let me explain. See, crisis counseling, when a couple brings in a huge problem in a short notice period of time, what it usually actually turns into is deep-seated problem counseling. Because the minute you start peeling the layers back of the onion, you realize that there's so much underneath the iceberg. And in counseling, what the term actually is the presenting problem is what they come into the room with. It feels like a crisis, and I'm not denying that it's a real situation, but what is even deeper is the iceberg underneath it. And so what happens is that there really is a real issue causing the problem on the surface, but it's the long-stemming communication breakdown underneath between two people that is causing the cycle that is actually somewhat predictable that's present. See, different life issues can bring these kinds of things about. You know, some couples have a pattern where they argue for a few minutes and then it calms down. Some couples have a pattern where they argue for a few hours and then it calms down. Some couples have a pattern where they argue for a few days and it calms down. Some couples have a pattern where they argue for a few weeks and it calms down. Some couples just argue. And sometimes it calms down and sometimes it doesn't. See, but what I'm getting at, and some of you are like, man, this is not an encouraging sermon, Pastor, to start the new year. Awesome, I'm glad I'm here. See, there's a pattern to the conflict, isn't there? And if couples can unlock the pattern and both parties are willing to work on the differences, they can begin to overcome the issues they face. But if a couple, if even when couples unlock the pattern, but one of them isn't willing to work on it, it really doesn't necessarily go anywhere. So even our marriage problems are just like every other problem we have in life. They follow somewhat predictable patterns. Well, it's the same thing with family relationship issues. They also follow certain predictable patterns when they break down. Or job issues also follow certain predictable patterns as they break down. See, the world as God designed it and as we know it today follows understandable and predictable patterns. And so here's a problem that I see with us human beings, I myself included. We are very good at noticing and analyzing the problems and patterns of others, and a lot less skilled in noticing and analyzing our own problems and patterns that hold us back from growth in life. And so I'm suggesting that one of the keys to better understand your life and to grow in your walk with the Lord in 2020 is to seek to understand your own patterns and how they cause worry in your life. You know, you and I cannot control what will happen in this new year, but we can always control how we respond to it. You know, I'm not one of these preachers that gets up on the stage and says everything in your life after the end of the church is going to get up and go better every day. That's just not my style, because I believe we live in a fallen world. But God's perfect order, and here's the hope we have, God's perfect order is hardwired into the very fabric of the universe that he designed, the world that we live in, and even in our lives. Like, you know, our own chaos doesn't even make a dent to change God's created order. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in what felt like such a heavy situation in your own life, and yet, you know, you wake up and the sun still rises every day, just like it always has. And our lives can seemingly be falling apart from our perspective, and everything else in the world from God's perspective just moves right along. Well, it takes wisdom to know and understand the way that the world works. It takes even more knowledge and wisdom and self-reflection to understand how our problems are negatively affecting ourselves and the world that we live in with the people around us. So here's a question to think about for 2020. What if you committed to better understand yourself through the seeking of godly wisdom in 2020, to better understand the things that make you tick, that make you respond positively in different aspects of your life, and also better understand the things that cause you to go south? You know, the wisdom and the personal growth that could come from that could be absolutely life-altering for you if you were willing to take that journey. Today, we're starting a series called Vision 2020, Wise Words for a New Year. And it's more than a new year, it's a new decade. But to be clear, they aren't my wise words. They're going to come to us from the book of Proverbs. And so if you've got a Bible, I would love if you turn there now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. If you are newer to God and the Bible and all this stuff, the book of Proverbs is found right after the big book in the middle of the Bible, which is the book of Psalms. And so you just take a right. And if you didn't bring a Bible, download that YouVersion app. There's all kinds of great Bible reading plans that are there for you. You love to tune into anyway. And as you turn and swipe there, if you are unfamiliar with the book of Proverbs, it's broken up into 31 chapters of wise sayings that can really get you thinking. Like, how many of you have ever done like a proverb a day kind of a thing? You know, that might be something to think about while we go through this. You might want to consider doing that. But the book of Proverbs was written by an Israelite king by the name of Solomon, who was arguably the wisest person who ever lived other than Jesus. And when you read some of these sayings that we're going to be looking at today, you're going to understand why people say that about him. Now, a little bit of context into the book of Proverbs as a whole. It is considered wisdom literature, and it is not alone in the ancient Near East in this type of literature. There are many other kinds from surrounding nations that are similar, but I would argue with you that the book of Proverbs outshines all of them when you read those. Now, the book of Proverbs are not promises from God that apply in every single time in your life and in every conceivable situation. What they are thoughts to ponder. and things to think about. And they're really focused more on practical life than they are theology about God, yet they're grounded in the things of the Lord. And so with all that being said as preliminary context, I'm gonna go ahead and read Proverbs 1, 1 through 6. We've already prayed, so we'll roll right into it. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So those first six verses we just read explains who wrote it, Solomon, why it was written, and who would benefit from it. Now, the implication behind even just those first six verses is that there are some people who won't benefit from it. And now for some, these sayings in this book will change their lives, lead to greater knowledge, insight in all aspects of life, producing a better understanding of how to deal with people and have better relationships, better business dealings, and help them in turn unlock life's deepest mysteries. But for others, this book is going to be nothing more than just a conglomeration of sayings. So my message title for the first Sunday of 2020 is How to Live with Less Worry in 2020. How many of you would love to live with less worry in 2020? Here's my promise. I believe that you can live with less worry in 2020. I don't believe, and I don't know, if we can ever be worry-free on this side of heaven. Now, if you have gotten there personally, you can come to me and explain it, and I'll incorporate it in my next sermon, okay? But me personally, I haven't arrived there yet in my faith. But I wholeheartedly believe that we can improve over time through the seeking of godly wisdom of how to live with less worry. So before I tell you a little bit about how to live with less worry in 2020, I believe it starts with a confession. And so I got like a little bit of a bad news, good news kind of a thing. And first thing I want you to write down on your note sheet about how to live with less worry in 2020 is this. Here's the bad news. I have problems that I struggle to see clearly. Now, I'm not just speaking about myself. Some of you are like, okay, thanks for admitting that in front of us, Pastor. That's cool. No, I think all of us need to confess that out loud right now. Literally, I want us to say it together. I have difficult problems I struggle to see clearly. First service didn't like saying it either. It was hard. But the implication behind Proverbs 1:6 is that there are sayings that wise people understand that simple people don't. Now, who is a simple people? Have you ever thought of that before? A simple person is simply someone who lacks godly wisdom. Now, wisdom is more than knowledge. See, wisdom is applying the knowledge that you have to the situations that are in front of you. Now, not only are there sayings that wise people understand that simple people don't, there are life issues that wise people understand that simple people don't. We all start out simple, but the good news is that it doesn't take a ton of knowledge to be wise. It takes using the knowledge you already have and applying it correctly to the situations in front of you. You know, life has a lot of challenging problems and riddles to it, doesn't it? And like, let me ask you a question with a show of hands. How many of you guys like riddles? How many of you are the riddle people? I honestly think you're a little bizarre. I love you, but I just don't enjoy riddles. And I'll tell you why. Because I rarely, if ever, understand them. I feel the little mouse in there trying to turn on the wheel and unpack the problem, but I just can never seem to get to the cheese. And even when a kind soul sits down with me and tries to explain the connections, I still go, huh, I don't really get that one, but okay, I hear you explaining it to me. And even as someone who gets a little frustrated with these kinds of things and isn't really a fan of riddles, I will admit that when the riddle finally clicks, there's this sense of like, oh, it comes in. And even for me, it feels kind of good. Well, here's the thing. Life is a little bit like that too. You know, there are riddles that will confuse and frustrate you. And the book of Proverbs was written for every single one of us to help us unlock some of those riddles. Now, I believe one of the riddles that the book of Proverbs was written to help us unlock for every human being is how to deal with worry. And so I think the first step to living with less worry in 2020 and every day beyond that is to just acknowledge that sometimes we have difficult problems that we struggle to see clearly. And notice how I wrote that. You know, we all know we have problems, we all know that, but I think the second part is harder to admit, that we struggle to see our problems clearly. You know, sometimes we see an aspect of our problem. We see what we think might help to make a situation better, and sometimes we're right, but we struggle sometimes to see the full implications of our own problems clearly. You know, our vision of ourselves is clouded through our own experiences, our emotions, even our sin in many cases from the past. And so I'd like all of us to start 2020 just with a little bit of a confession and acknowledgement that we all have difficult problems that we struggle to see clearly in ourselves. But here's the good news that I hope to give you. God has wisdom to help me solve my riddle. And that takes you to the next point on your note sheet. God has wisdom to help solve my life's riddles. And now I want to read Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I've said it already, but I'll say it again. Knowledge isn't wisdom, and knowledge turns into wisdom if and when we apply it correctly. But, you know, the Bible says that even the demons acknowledge who Jesus is and shudder, and yet we wouldn't consider them wise because they reject the Lord. And so, really, it doesn't become wisdom until we receive the truth that Jesus is trying to communicate to us. The New Living Translation translates Proverbs 1:7 as, "The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge." And the Amplified Bible of Proverbs 1:7 unpacks it a little bit more. It says it this way: "The reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him as truly and regarding him as truly awesome, is the beginning and preeminent part of knowledge, its starting point and essence." And then comes the big but. The Bible's full of big buts, just so you know. I'm not being inappropriate, people. It's grammar. You know, I think about it, it says, "But fools despise wisdom." Now, why would someone reject wisdom? You know, I would think most people would say that they want wisdom, but the point that the author is getting at is that some will not do what is needed to experience wisdom. And some will take those truths from the Lord and make it a part of their life, and they will reap the benefit of it. And I want that to be you in 2020. I want that to be me in 2020. I want to live with more godly wisdom of how my life works and how God thinks it could be better, and with less worry about the things I don't know and the things I can't control. Anybody with me? Well, the next thing I want you to write down is this. It says, "The reverent fear of the Lord is the foundation." That's the Amplified Bible's unpacking of that verse. Now, what is the reverent fear of the Lord, and why does it matter? Well, let me start out by explaining what the word reverent means. You've heard it used before, but I'll remind you that reverence is a term we talk about to communicate a sense of awe or respect, and I believe the fullest sense of the term should be reserved for God. But I believe in a lesser sense, it's biblically acceptable for Christians to have some of that for Christians who have either accomplished something great or really walk with the Lord and have a sense of reverence for what they've done. But the idea is that when you revere someone, you're much more likely to listen to them and do what they're suggesting or recommending. Here's an interesting fact. The opposite of reverence is disdain, hatred, and mocking. And so Proverbs 1:7 says that's exactly what fools do. It says they despise wisdom. In other words, the minute a fool sniffs out wisdom, they go, "I don't want that," and they turn the other way. Living with more wisdom and less worry starts with a sense of reverence towards the Lord God and his word. But it's not just the reverence, though, because reverence in and of itself doesn't actually drive us anywhere. The text says that it is the reverent fear of the Lord. So here's something that we don't think about every day as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a level of fear that is actually incredibly healthy for every Christian's life. And that is the reverent fear of the Lord. You know, we all know fear very well. Unfortunately, we know all the wrong kinds of fear too well. Some of us let the fear of the unknown rule our lives. Some of us let the fear of the known issues that we already are aware of rule our lives. Some of us let the fear of other people's opinions about us rule our lives. Some of us let the fear of repeating past mistakes rule our lives. Some of us let the fear of failure rule our lives. There's a song by an artist I really enjoy named Zach Williams that is titled, "Fear is a Liar." And I won't read the whole thing, but the chorus says this. It says, "Fear, he's a liar. He'll take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he's a liar. He'll rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he's a liar." Now, 99% of the types of fears that come from this life that we experience are unhealthy and not of the Lord. But that being said, there is actually one form of fear that is very healthy. It is the reverent fear of the Lord. And not only is it healthy, but Proverbs 1:7 says that it is the foundation of godly wisdom. And so in other words, if we don't get this part right, the riddles of our lives will remain unanswered. And surprise, surprise to all of you, I am not a construction person. I know this will be a great shocker for many of you in the room today. Now, that being said, I know enough of the basics to understand how things work. And I know that to have a building that works, you have to have a good foundation. Now, thinking about foundations, foundations in and of themselves are very unimpressive things. Like, no one stands on a concrete slab of something they're building or working on is like, "Wow, my life is complete now on this slab." You know, if you've ever built a home or an office building or something like that, you know, it's kind of cool when the foundation goes down because you can get a sense of the scope of what something's going to look like. It's like, okay, here's the bedroom or here's where this wall's going to go or that one. But in and of itself, the foundation is just a place to build upon. And so the reality is, though, if you don't get the foundation right, anything you put on top isn't going to be worth it. In fact, Jesus said it in Matthew 7:24-27, where he said the wise man or woman builds his house on the what? The rock, or the foundation. Now, where am I going with all this? The reverent fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7 tells us it's the foundation to understanding the riddles of our lives that we struggle to solve. Now, having a right foundation won't magically solve all the problems of life, but it will give you a steady footing to build upon later. It will drive your eyes upward to the one who can help us, because all of us have difficult problems that we struggle to see clearly, and God alone has the wisdom to solve our life's riddles. But here's the next thing I want you to write down about godly wisdom, is that the right rhythms keep me on track. The right rhythms keep me on track. You know, the Christian life is not just about getting on track one time. It's about staying on track through the course of time. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever started a diet that you stopped? Anyone in 2020 already done it before? Or so far? I solve that problem every year by never starting a diet. That's how I deal with it. But here's the thing. A diet is a rhythm that you know is healthy and help you move forward. You know, well, one of the ways we keep ourselves spiritually on track is through the right spiritual rhythms. I want to read to you Proverbs 1:8-9. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." I want you to think about these two verses from a couple of different perspectives. The first way is through the lens of your earthly fathers and mothers, if you had a good example and the good things that they taught you. If you didn't have a good example, maybe somebody who you think of as a spiritual father or mother in that way. What kinds of things do good mothers and fathers teach us? Well, they teach us a lot of the basics. You know, they teach us to brush our teeth and wash our hands. They teach us how to dress ourselves, how to communicate. They teach us how to make our bed every day. They teach us to clean up after ourselves. They teach us to take care of household chores, even if they don't directly benefit us. They teach us to share what we have so that other people can experience it too. They teach us to solve conflict. They teach us to show love. They teach us to listen to each other. They teach us to save money, hopefully. They teach us to trust God. They teach us the important things about eating good and exercise. They teach us things like why church is so important. Now, there are tons more examples. But if you really think about it, The good rhythms that mothers and fathers, or the things that mothers and fathers teach us are how to have good rhythms in our lives. Now, that being said also, no human parent is perfect. Amen? And so as I rattled off that list, I saw a few in there that I need to work on in my life right now. It's like, oh, not doing that one. I need to do a better job there. And so as we think of these things, we realize that none of us are the perfect example, which is why I want you to think about these two verses also from a different perspective, and that is from the perspective of our Heavenly Father. And when Proverbs 1:8 says, listen to when your father corrects you and not to neglect his instruction, I want you to think about the correction and the protective rhythms that God the Father teaches us from his word to keep our lives on track. I love what verse 9 says. It says that what you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. That when we learn from our parents, and exponentially more so God the Father, to have and to keep the right rhythms, that God will crown us with grace and honor. And so what we learn from keeping these things in our lives will continue to bring us more grace exponentially and honor every day. And so the principle is really this. The right rhythms keep us on track when we don't have the answer to life's riddle. Friend, there will be times when you and I simply cannot solve the latest riddle that our life has thrown us. Or oftentimes you get a sliver of information that's in front of you and you have to process it and you have to deal with it. For me personally, I'm thankful that God doesn't give me everything in terms of information at once. Sometimes I wish he would, but when I actually think about it, in reality, if God gave me all the things that I feel like are answers I'm looking for today, I think, oh, I would live with less worry. But then the more I think about it, I realize, no, I wouldn't. I'd just have another riddle. I just have another question about something else that he hadn't yet told me about. And so God in his wisdom gives us what we need every day to deal with the riddle that's in front of us. You know, Matthew 6:34, Jesus says this, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. So, you know, we can't handle as much sometimes as we think we can. God knows that. And I believe that's why he gives us pieces to handle every day as further information arises. Now, I cannot offer you all the answers to your life's riddles from the book of Proverbs specifically. I can promise you, though, that your life will be much less worrisome in 2020 if you implement the right rhythms in your life to manage the riddles that are there. Now, notice I said the right rhythms keep me on track. You know, the wrong rhythms in our lives are always around and very easy to spot. I want to read to you now verses 10 through 19. It talks all about it. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole. Like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood, for in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain, and it takes away the life of its possessors. You know, it's so interesting as we read those verses that when you're seeking fulfillment in something sinful or not of the Lord, it feels like you're going to find something to grasp hold onto. But verse 19 says that what it actually winds up doing is taking away and sucking away the very life of the person who's seeking after that thing. You know, your conscience will tell you, I believe with all my heart, when you are walking toward a sinful path. And if it doesn't tell you, then that's why God gave us his word, just in case, because sometimes our conscience can even fail. And I believe that we all have life rhythms connected to certain sins that tempt us. And each of us is in charge of uncracking the code of our own rhythms to figure out why we make the poor choices that we do, or why we head towards certain things. You know, what if in 2020, God were saying to you that all there was something in your life that you could leave at the cross that was covered in the blood and that you could walk in newness of life towards? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? That there could be a pattern in your life that God was telling you, hey, this is gone. In the new year, you're going to walk in freedom in this area. See, all of us have areas of our lives where we have patterns towards certain pathways towards sin. Some of our patterns in our lives aren't necessarily sinful. I would call them stupid. Some of you are like, okay, that was a bad word choice, Pastor. Yeah, I agree. Okay, I should have used foolish, but I like the two S's together, grammatical. Okay, there we go. You get the point. Sometimes there are things in our lives that we go to in terms of patterns. They're not bad things, but they might not be the God things that will help us get to a 2020 with less worry. So let me take a second now to talk about some right rhythms that you might want to think about implementing in your life every day, not just for a new year or a new decade. The first one is being in church every week. You know, there's a reason that God designed church to happen every Sunday. You know, it's a rhythm, and it's this reset where you start off the week and you go, okay, this is what happened. Here's the junk that came on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and you come in and you just kind of go, okay, God, let's hit that reset button today. You know, there's a reason God says, don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some in Hebrews 10:24. In other words, it is the habit of some to neglect meeting together regularly in the context of church. You know, if you and I only needed church once a year, God would have set it up to happen once a year. If we only needed church to happen once a month, God would have set it up for once a month. If we only needed it every other week, God would have set it up for every other week. But God set it up to be something that believers for all time experience every single week. But to take that a little bit further, if your Christianity is based on an hour of a week that you're getting in a church service, that is not enough to sustain you, friends. Not even close. Like, imagine if you're married, or if a married person only talked to their spouse for an hour a week. I don't think there'd be much of a relationship there. And we often say around here that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And so we want to have a relationship with God that is ongoing daily. Now, I'm not here today to give you a drive-by guilting, because obviously you're here in church today. I'm here to encourage you that one of the keys to living with less worry is to have and keep the right kind of spiritual rhythms in your life. And I believe God set up church attendance and involvement as one of the foundational pieces and elements of that for every single Christian. That being said, there are so many others. And so I just want to ask you, you know, what are the right rhythms that God might be asking you to implement in 2020, or maybe to re-implement in 2020. Now, maybe some of you haven't made church a priority for years, and God's been speaking you to step that up. Maybe some of you have made that a priority on Sundays, but you've never made that leap to join a small group, and God's nudging you, and he's saying, hey, this is the time. You know, maybe some of you have not really had much of a prayer or devotional life in terms of your walk with God, and God's saying, come on, spend time with me throughout the week. Maybe some of you in here have been doing all the right Christian stuff. You know everything, you can preach a good sermon about it yourself or encourage somebody else about it, but if you're being real, you aren't being real with the people in the church. You aren't being vulnerable with anybody about what's really happening inside of your life. And God's nudging you that there are believers around you that want to encourage you, but they can't do it if they don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what the right spiritual rhythms it may be that God is calling you towards, but I know this. God uses the right spiritual rhythms in our lives to keep us on track when we have all the answers and we know what's going on and we feel good about our lives. And God uses the right rhythms to keep us on track when we don't have any of the answers and we have no clue what's going on and we're frustrated and confused. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The reverent fear of the Lord It's the foundation of knowledge. And that knowledge, when it's properly applied, leads to divine wisdom. And divine wisdom is the key to solving life's most challenging riddles. And sometimes God will bless you with that answer directly. But more often than not, God just says, here's enough wisdom for today to get through this part of the riddle of your life that you don't understand or that I want to help you with today. And so one of the keys to getting through whatever we're going through is simply to have and to keep the right rhythms. I want to head down to Proverbs 1, 20 through 33, and then we'll wrap up here. Listen to this. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroy them. But here's a verse that I want to hone in on as we finish this up today. And if you're an underliner or a highlighter, this is just so powerful. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. How many of you would love to have that in your life, or more of that? To dwell secure, to be at ease, and to live without the dread of disaster. And this is the last thing on the note sheet, that godly wisdom can do that for you. Godly wisdom can help me feel secure, be at ease, and live without dread of disaster. And I love how that first part that we read just opens up in verse 20, where it just says that godly wisdom cries aloud in the streets. And I don't know if any of you have ever been to like a street fair kind of a thing, but even if one person is shouting at a street fair with all of these people around, you're not really going to hear them until you go up to the person who's shouting out that message. And so God's just saying, he's just always shouting his wisdom out there, but there's so much stuff in your life that you're not hearing it. It's not getting through. You've got to go to him to seek the godly wisdom that you need to find. You know, some of us are living life anxious and worried all the time. And God just says, we just need to run to him. He's always shouting at the top of his lungs in the street corner, at the head of the noisy streets. He's crying out at the entrance of the city gates. He's speaking. And he's telling us, how long do you want to keep being simple? How long do you want to keep repeating these same patterns? And God's saying, just come to me. And I will help you feel secure and live at ease and be without dread of disaster. You know, I believe that it is 100% possible to live each day without the dread of doom of the other shoe dropping or the next family crisis hitting. And I'm not trying to sound idealistic here at all, because if you know me well, you know that I'm a realist at the core. And so I don't know if we can get to a place of being worry-free on this side of heaven because we're fallen, but here's what I know for sure about me and about you. We can make progress every single day in living a life with more godly wisdom, more worship, and less worry. And so God says his wisdom is just crying aloud in the streets if we would just turn and listen to his correction, that he will pour out his spirit upon us. That's what I pray for myself for 2020. That's what I pray for you in 2020. And that's what I pray for this church in 2020. Would you pray with me? God, may we live with more of your wisdom today and every day. God, may we bring sinful patterns to the cross where they can be covered in the blood. May we self-reflect about the things that cause us to go to the wrong rhythms. And may you direct us to your rhythms, your right rhythms, that will cause us to grow in godliness and wisdom every single day. If you're in here today and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you were to walk out the doors of this church, and you genuinely don't know if you'd go to heaven when you pass away, I believe God brought you here to settle that question once and for all. And I just want to tell you, God promises to forgive you of all your sin, adopt you into his family, fill you with his spirit, and give you an eternal life beyond anything you could ask for or imagine. There's only one catch. Jesus wants the steering wheel of your heart. And so if you're ready to make that commitment today, and just you've been window shopping the claims of the Bible and Jesus and God, man, here's your chance to become a follower of the Lord. Just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and the sins of the world. I believe you died there, and I believe you rose from the grave so I could have everlasting life. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your spirit and give me the power to live this life for you. God, I'm tired of running. Here's the steering wheel of my heart. Take over. In Jesus' name I pray.
Before you sign off, you can listen to more great messages on City Church's website at lovehopecity.com. Or if you have a question, send us an email at hello@lovehopecity.com. Come see us any Sunday at 701 West Broadway, Anaheim, California. Check the website for times and services.